Let's create a little controversy here because this is a graph. It's a little blurry, but I think you'll get it from the American College of Cardiology recommendation in 2017 on controversies in nutrition. I point out that Andrew Freeman, MD, a cardiologist in Denver, was the lead author. The co-authors were some very famous physicians you know, Dr. Neil Barnard, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Dr. Dean Ornish, and Dr. Kim Williams. And if you look over to the right, evidence of benefits recommended, extra virgin olive oil is the first on the list. Reduces some cardiovascular outcomes when consumed in moderate quantities. Well, you might say, what about Lester Morrison, MD, and Mr. Pritikin, and Dr. Ornish's studies, and Dr. Esselstyn and others? Interesting. And then blueberries and strawberries. Let's not forget about nuts. Portion control is necessary. Green leafy vegetables and plant-based proteins are wonderful legumes. So we won't talk about the other columns, except if you do go over all the way to the left, you'll see coconut and palm oil are high in saturated fat. And even though they're plant-based, it's not recommended to put them in a healthy diet. But extra virgin olive oil got a check mark from some pretty famous individuals. This is, in fact, an advisory from the American Heart Association on the topic of dietary fats and cardiovascular disease, pointing out there are 17 million deaths a year globally due to cardiovascular disease. And based on a number of studies, particularly the Harvard School of Public Health, if you're eating a high saturated fat diet and you substitute certain food groups, now these are chemicals that are in the food, so it's not so easy, you can lower your risk of heart disease by substituting butter for monounsaturated fatty acids. That's what you're going to find in olive oil. You can lower your risk of heart disease even more if you substitute butter and lard and ghee and similar foods with polyunsaturated fatty acids. That's what you're going to find in some vegetable oils, of course. Refined carbohydrates don't buy you any grace, but complex carbohydrates like whole grains do. So these are, again, comments that might rub people the wrong way, but we're dealing with real people in my clinic. And unfortunately, not all of them, many of them, but not all of them are going to go plant-based, and not all of them are going to go no oil plant-based. And it's still important to recognize that a step towards that direction, substituting saturated fat-rich foods for either saturated fat-poor foods or no saturated fat foods, are always good steps in the right direction. So this is the famous cover in 1961 of Dr. Ansel Keys being congratulated for his diet and health data, even before the seven-country study was published. Thanks, American Heart Association. Of course, saturated fat is dangerous for hearts. We've known that for 100 years. Well, that's my comment, not necessarily his. I didn't have the pleasure of meeting him. I have had the pleasure of talking to his children and his colleagues on a regular basis. But he passed away before I got on his radar screen. All right, so we have to agree in this famous article. It looks a lot like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but it's not. 2,679 physicians say Luckies are less irritating. It's toasted. Well, we don't always get it right in medical science. And is the complete prohibition of some of the foods that Dr. Morrison, Mr. Pritikin, Dr. Ornish, Dr. Esselstyn, and others have recommended, do they hold true in 2022? Can science ever re-examine? So we're going to look at that topic, and we're going to probably upset a few people along the way. I don't mean that, of course, as the goal, but science needs to be discussed, even in 2022, where there's been a lot of suppression of science. Does olive oil harm arteries? And I want to remind everybody, our miracle arteries, 50 to 60,000 miles of arteries emanating from the heart to the brain, to the heart muscle itself, to all the extremities, kidneys, liver, and every organ, including sexual organs, are lined with a single layer of cells called the endothelial cells. You can see the arrow pointing, that are critical in maintaining healthy arteries to make a lot of nitric oxide and other vasodilating chemicals to keep at low levels amount of certain chemicals that promote clotting and chemicals that promote a constriction of arteries. And we want healthy endothelium. And there has been some data to raise the question, does olive oil harm the endothelium? So let's go through that probably in more detail than you've ever heard presented. You have to understand one concept briefly, and it's called FMD or flow-mediated dilatation. This is largely a research study procedure, although I do offer it in my office in suburban Detroit, where there's a blood pressure cuff on the arm. There's an ultrasound of the artery at the crease of the arm called your brachial artery, and you can measure blood flow at the end of the arm. The artery to the arm is compressed by the blood pressure cuff for 5 minutes. So there's actually no blood flow to the hand for 5 minutes. People describe they get tingling, it feels cold, and sometimes it's painful. And when you let the blood pressure cuff down suddenly, there should be a rush of blood flow down the artery to the hand, and you can measure it. And you can measure the size of the brachial artery when that happens. And a healthy endothelium making lots of nitric oxide will let lots of blood flow. Flow mediated. It's a research tool to ask the question, is my endothelium healthy? Although it is a clinical tool also. And in this study in 2007, olive, soybean, and palm oil intake have similar acute detrimental effects over the endothelial function in healthy young subjects. So let's go through this. It's brief. 10 healthy young volunteers were given a potato soup with 60 cc's of one of the three vegetable oils. And to make it even more complex, they did it with either fresh vegetable oils or the leftover from fried oils. They took what would be left after you fried some potatoes and had them drink that once it cooled down to see if that was even more potentially detrimental. They would look at how the flow down the artery reacted 1 hour after drinking 2 ounces of these oils or 3 hours later. And the bottom line is all the meals, olive oil, soybean oil, and palm oil, whether it was the more natural approach or fried and cooled down, did lower flow-mediated dilatation in these healthy volunteers. They didn't have any problem with it. They were healthy young people. They didn't have heart attack, strokes. We don't know what happened to them over the next 10 or 20 or 30 years. But there are problems with this study design. There was no soup group that didn't have oil in it. And there is certainly a routine observation that when you eat, it does put a stress on our metabolism, and it could impact our arteries briefly every time we eat, particularly if it's a salty meal. So we don't know that about this soup, and we don't know what would have happened if there was a control arm that just got soup, no oil. This is important just to understand in general, but if you look at the lower left, this is a sequence of events well known called metabolic endotoxemia, most famously triggered by high fat feeding in animals. But a high fat meal, particularly a high saturated fat meal, can quickly change the way our gut bacteria react, can cause permeability or leakiness between cells in our gut, our enterocytes, can allow certain toxins called LPS and endotoxins to leak from the gut into the blood, triggering inflammation disorders and altered flow-mediated dilatation. That can happen with many kinds of meals. So this one example of an endothelial study with potato soup, but not studying the potato soup alone, not studying the salt content alone, could be just this general reaction that occurs after meals. In an animal study that was done, I'll just show you this, although it's off track a little, the types of fats and the amount of toxins that get released through the GI tract into the blood, you can see that they tried salt water, coconut oil, codfish, other fish, vegetable oils, and olive oil. The results with olive oil were the same as with saline. They were neutral and they were not dramatic. It was the coconut oil high in saturated fat that had the most release of endotoxins. And some of these more whole foods had less than olive oil and the saline control. It's a complex formulation, but many things can trigger toxins after a meal. In all of us, it happens. It's brief. We can manage it with particularly a high antioxidant diet full of fruits and vegetables, but it's important to examine these studies that have gotten famous. And there is a link. If you look at the very top of this diagram, LPS, lipopolysaccharide, are one of the toxins that exists in the gut and created by bacteria, and they shouldn't have easy access into the bloodstream. But with certain high saturated fat meals, and according to this study we looked at, coconut oil more than others, and other high fat meals like milkshakes and McDonald's have all been studied, the toxin lipopolysaccharide can get into the bloodstream, trigger inflammation, trigger endothelial dysfunction, and cause chronic coronary disease long-term. So this is concepts you need to understand. Just to go back to the potato soup study, it isn't just high fat meals that can impair endothelial function. And we learned in this study in 2011, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, similar setup, healthy volunteers giving low salt and high salt meals with their flow mediated dilatation measured 30, 60, and 120 minutes after the high salt meal. Consuming high salty foods may begin to impair the functioning of blood vessels within 30 minutes, according to new research. So it just raises the question, does that famous oil study where all the oils showed impairment and flow mediated dilatation in healthy volunteers, how much of it was the oil and how relevant is it? Because when's the last time you drank 2 ounces of any oil in a shot glass just for the fun of it? Most of us don't eat that way. All right, let's break down a very famous study right now. You need to understand this. The famous Vogel study. And there in the chair in the white jacket is one of my mentors, Dr. Robert Vogel, MD, a man I have some of the greatest esteem for. He's still a cardiologist now in Denver. He was my mentor in University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. Then he went for a very long time to Maryland at the university. He was, for at least a year, the medical director of the Pritikin Center in Miami. And there is a book out I have in my office for patients on the Pritikin diet, authored by Dr. Robert Vogel. But he probably got more press than any other exposure from the movie The Game Changers. And some of you might recognize that. There are the three athletes that ate three different meals, high fat or lower fat meals. They had their blood drawn after. They spun their blood down to show how different their blood was after a high animal fat diet, creamy blood versus clear motor oil looking blood. And Dr. Vogel went through and explained all that. But where Dr. Vogel, in terms of our conversation today, gets most attention is this one of his many publications, but this one in the year 2000, Journal of the American College of Cardiology, the postprandial effect of components of the Mediterranean diet on endothelial function. What Dr. Vogel wanted to experiment with was the idea, what was it in the Mediterranean diet that might improve endothelial function? What was it that might harm endothelial function? Recognizing the Mediterranean diet has olive oil, pasta, fruits, vegetables, fish, and wine. Is it one or other, or is it the combination? And this study has been quoted over and over and over to indicate that no oil is the only option to pursue. So the quick read was that the olive oil component of the Mediterranean diet, when studied, reduced flow mediated dilatation by 31%, and the remaining four meals did not reduce it. Most people don't know there actually were five meals in the famous Robert Vogel study on the Mediterranean diet, and there were, and the olive oil meal was the one in healthy volunteers that led us to conclude olive oil is unhealthy. But I want you to look at table two. This is a little bit busy. We're going to talk about it. It says heart rate, blood pressure, and brachial artery blood flow diameter and flow mediated vasodilatation before and after five high fat meals in 10 healthy subjects. And I want you to look at the top half of the graph, We've got one meal given to 10 healthy volunteers, one day of olive oil and bread. There actually was no meal that was just olive oil. The second was canola oil and bread. The third was salmon and crackers. The fourth was olive oil bread with antioxidant vitamins. And the fifth was a real meal, olive oil, bread, salad, and vinegar. And they measured flow meter dilatation on five different days. I want you to look at the top. That's before they ate. If you look at where it says FMD percentage, 14, 13, 13, 13.3, 13.5, those are the baseline. Well, what happened after the meal? You got to go to the bottom of the graph now where it says FMD percentage right at the bottom. Olive oil and bread dropped from 14.3 to 9.9% flow mediated dilatation. It dropped. What happened with canola oil and bread? 13.0 dropped to 11.6, but it was not statistically significant, which is how scientists examine if it's likely a real or a random finding. How about salmon and crackers? 13.1 dropped to 12.8, certainly not statistically significant. Olive oil, bread, and the antioxidant vitamins, 13.3 to 12.1, not statistically significant. And what about a real meal? Olive oil, bread, salad, and vinegar. 13.5 dropped to 12.1, not statistically significant. So indeed, in all meals, FMD measure dropped. That's again common. That could be just the response of eating. That could be the salt. But this was an interesting setup. But how many of you know that on the right, a meal of olive oil, bread, salad, and vinegar did not significantly drop flow mediated dilatation? Because how many of us drink pure olive oil like the previous study? And I'd also suggest it's not particularly ideal to eat olive oil and bread alone. It's a lot of calories without antioxidants. And they showed in this study, if you take artificial external antioxidants, vitamin C and E, or if you get them from food, a salad with vinegar, you're not going to drop your flow-mediated dilatation significantly. If anybody's been to Italy or is a fan of Italy or the fan of the food of Italy, what's a salad called that has olive oil, bread, salad, and vinegar in it? It's called a panzanella salad. It's one of the classic delicious salads, I think originally from the flower market of Rome, if I'm right, if I remember. But the way they eat in traditional Mediterranean diets are not significantly endothelial harming. So maybe the Vogel study says, eat real food combined with real whole food plant-based components to balance metabolic endotoxemia with the natural antioxidants that seem to blunt it. But this is where a lot of the whole hullabaloo that has led to no oil came from. Maybe it should be no olive oil in bread alone. Maybe it should be always, if you're doing it, olive oil, bread, salad, and vinegar. And I just want you to look at that because this is the whole deal. This is the science. There is no other science that gets quoted over and over and attributed to Dr. Vogel. Now, I'm not a fan of canola oil, but there are research studies that suggest canola oil has cardiac benefits, certainly in place of butter. I won't go into the Leon Hart trial where they did that in the 1990s, took away butter and put in a canola oil margarine spread and showed a absolutely remarkable reduction in heart events in people with heart disease. But canola oil is a polyunsaturated fat-rich substitute for butter and lard that shouldn't necessarily always be off the menu if it keeps people focused on their diet. And it doesn't seem to be statistically creating endothelial dysfunction. It would have been nice if they had measured canola oil, bread, salad, and vinegar, but we don't have that arm. So maybe it's okay to eat a panzanella salad with the abbreviation EVO, and you might know that's extra virgin olive oil. What a beautiful salad here, but are we harming it if we put extra virgin olive oil in addition to the vinegar? According to Dr. Vogel's randomized prospective study in healthy volunteers, we're actually not. But these are short-term endothelial studies, and we've got real patients living real lives. So what's the limitation of the Vogel study? Small, brief, 3 hours. Normal volunteers, not heart patients. There really wasn't an olive oil only group. They did use extra virgin olive oil, but the brand and the purity was not reported. And finally, there is something called high polyphenol extra virgin olive oil, and it was apparently not studied. And to point out my own knowledge of the area, you can purchase high polyphenol olive oil. You can purchase a brand from Greek. I'll try and say it, Leocharis, and it's available on one of those big online merchants. You know what I'm talking about. You can buy super concentrated polyphenol olive oil from Morocco called Alive. I don't have any interest in the company. And there actually are even capsules of concentrated dried powders coming from all parts of organic olive oil trees and all the components. They're going to be lower for sure in fat content than the olive oil itself, but they provide the high polyphenol option that olives, olive trees, olive leaves all may sustain. These were not studied in the famous Vogel research study. In fact, the product in the red bottle has been studied in people with pre-diabetes, diabetes, and other metabolic conditions, and acts almost like a medication. Although again, I have no financial interest in that company. I'm just aware of them. All right, how about a couple other question marks? How about the effect of extra virgin olive oil and butter on endothelial function in type 1 diabetics, just published last year? 10 type 1 diabetics, 6 healthy controls, a test meal with extra virgin olive oil, a separate test meal with butter. Flow-mediated dilatation was measured. Uh-oh, flow-mediated dilatation increased after the extra virgin olive oil meal compared with butter. Raises questions. How about a systemic review and meta-analysis published in 2015? All the studies combined and met the criteria, effect of extra virgin olive oil on markers of inflammation and endothelial function. 30 studies, 3,106 participants. Extra virgin olive oil resulted in lower inflammation compared to controls as measured by high sensitivity C-reactive protein. Flow-mediated dilatation rose overall in olive oil interventions. There were 8 trials. Evidence that olive oil might exert beneficial effects on endothelial function was the conclusion. Not exactly what we sometimes hear from the community of scientists that we know. And then I've got to spend a few more minutes on this major scientific project that I suspect you are not familiar with, but you will be now. We're looking at a 2020 publication, one of many, in a respected journal, PLOS Medicine. Let me read the title: Mediterranean Diet and Endothelial Function in Patients with Coronary Heart Disease, an Analysis of the CORDIOPREV Randomized Clinical Trial. CORDIOPREV, I want you to learn that word. CORDIOPREV study, coronary diet intervention with olive oil and cardiovascular prevention is what that abbreviation stands for. And I want to point out a few things. This is recent research, and there's a number of papers. It's a randomized controlled trial. It's not just an observation. It's measuring endothelial function in patients with heart disease, not in healthy 20-year-old control volunteers. And it's combining the Mediterranean diet and extra virgin olive oil the way people really eat, like a panzanella salad, not necessarily a beaker full of oil alone. And this is a big study. It's ongoing. It's in Spain. It's a randomized clinical trial involving 1,002 patients with coronary artery disease, not healthy volunteers, that are undergoing one of 2 diets in a randomized design. The 2 groups, one is a Mediterranean diet with 502 patients, one is a low-fat version, and they're following these people for 7 years, not for 3 hours. The 2 diets are less than 30% calories from fat with a reduced intake of extra virgin olive oil, and overall less than 10% of calories from saturated fat, which I'm all for that. And it's being compared to a Mediterranean diet with over 35% of calories from fat, but keeping the saturated fat content also low. Everybody recognizes it's not a good idea to raise saturated fat in the diet. And you can create a Mediterranean diet that's higher in total fat. That would be the diet of Crete, and still low in saturated fat. following most guidelines like the American Heart Association, World Health Organization, and others. Some of you might say right away, less than 30% calories from fat is not 10% or 11%, like Dr. Ornish, Mr. Pritikin, Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. Morrison. And that's true. There is not an ultra low fat diet in this research group, because that represents what people in Spain following the Mediterranean diet are willing to accept, do. And remember, you got to keep them in the trial for 7 years here. All right, let's proceed to the next slide. The participants assigned to the Mediterranean higher fat diet were given free extra virgin olive oil, a liter a week. The amount was not intended to be for the exclusive use of the participant, for the whole family to use at home if needed. The participants were not told to use all of the oil, but just as much as they needed in the regular diet. The participants randomized to the lower fat diet received recommendations focused on limiting all types of fat from both animal and vegetable sources and on increasing the intake of complex carbohydrates. Sound a lot like the diet that is taught and should be taught to heart patients. But is it possible that this higher fat Mediterranean enhanced extra virgin olive oil diet has any credibility, given that we've heard about the Vogel study over and over? And I don't want to go too deep into it, but I do want to read this. Patients who followed the Mediterranean diet had higher flow-mediated dilatation at 1 year compared with those in the low-fat diet, with a difference between diets of 2.6%, even in those patients with severe endothelial dysfunction. We observed higher endothelial progenitor cells, a marker of healthy endothelium. We observed higher endothelial progenitor cell levels and lower endothelial debris after the Mediterranean diet compared with the low-fat diet in all patients. Those are good things in the high-fat diet. We also observed lower intracellular reactive oxygen species, ROS, production. We saw lower cellular apoptosis and higher cellular proliferation and angiogenesis after the Mediterranean diet than the low-fat diet. Each dietary intervention was associated with distinct changes in epigenetic and proteomic factors that modulate biologic processes associated with endothelial function. Let me read the conclusions. Our results suggest that the Mediterranean diet better modulates endothelial function compared with a low-fat diet, as it's associated with a better balance of vascular homeostasis, in coronary heart disease patients, even in those with severe endothelial function. So we have to point out why this is such a landmark study. One, it is randomized. Two, it's large. Three, it's long-term, although this was one-year data. I'll show you in a minute, five-year data, and the study's ongoing. Number four, very, very sophisticated measures of artery function were used. Not just flow-mediated dilatation for 3 hours, but some of the most advanced measures that are not necessarily clinically available, like endothelial progenitor cell production, which I've heard the amazing Dr. Esselstyn talk about in his lectures, but here they were measured and they were better, higher, and more robust in the Mediterranean diet with the higher total fat calories, although still low in saturated fat, than in the other diet group. Of course, they did have dietary questionnaire data to show that there was a significant difference in the actual diet eaten by these two group of patients. The randomization did work. Very provocative data, I think you'd agree. This is from their study, changes pre and post. And if you look at the top, we'll just look at that. Flow-mediated dilatation changes post and pre in the group that was on the Mediterranean diet with the enhanced extra virgin olive oil, there was an increase in flow-mediated dilatation with the high extra virgin olive oil diet. There was an increase in the percentage of EPCs, endothelial progenitor cells, and there was less apoptotic cells. That's another good thing found in the arm that was randomized to the high extra virgin olive oil Mediterranean diet version. Now, that's not the only study that they did. They did a study on kidney function. Long-term consumption of the Mediterranean diet or a low-fat diet on kidney function in coronary heart disease patients. Separate publication, the CordioPrep randomized clinical trial. The long-term consumption of a Mediterranean diet rich in extra virgin olive oil, when compared to a low-fat diet, may preserve kidney function, as shown by a reduced decline in glomerular filtration rate, kidney function, in coronary heart disease patients with type 2 diabetes. Patients with mildly impaired glomerular filtration rate may benefit more from the beneficial effect of the consumption of the Mediterranean diet in preserving kidney function. These findings reinforce the clinical benefits of the Mediterranean diet in the context of the secondary cardiovascular disease prevention. Just like that 2017 article by the American College of Cardiology, Controversies in Nutrition, lead author Andrew Freeman and our friends, Dr. Bernard, Dr. Williams, Dr. Ornish, and Dr. Esselstyn, very consistent. And this is perhaps the most provocative of the CordioPrev publications published November 2021 in a journal called Stroke. Mediterranean diet and atherosclerosis progression in coronary heart disease, an analysis of the CordioPrev randomized clinical trial. So let's go through this. They used a measure I use in my clinic in Detroit called carotid IMT, intimal medial thickness ultrasound. And they did it at baseline and they did it at 5 years to look at the amount of plaque in the carotid artery in these two groups in the CordioPrev trial. Now let's read the data. The Mediterranean diet decreased IMT, intimal medial thickness. To decrease it is a benefit. The Mediterranean diet decreased thickness at 5 years, maintained at 7 years compared to baseline. The low-fat diet did not modify the intimal medial thickness in the carotid arteries. The intimal medial thickness and the carotid maximal plaque height were more decreased after the Mediterranean diet compared to the low-fat diet throughout the follow-up. That's a good thing to have your plaque reduced. It's a good thing to have your thickness reduced. There were benefits by imaging the carotid arteries substantiated in the higher olive oil group. Whoa, this is 1,002 patients with heart disease followed up for up to 7 years. We've never seen data like this before. Blows everything out of the water. What's the next bullet point? Long-term consumption of a Mediterranean diet rich in extra virgin olive oil, if compared to a low-fat diet, was associated with decreased atherosclerosis progression, as shown by reduced intimal medial thickness carotid findings and carotid plaque height. These findings reinforce the clinical benefits of the Mediterranean diet in the context of secondary cardiovascular prevention. Let that sink in for a minute, because this is a quality study. If any arguments can be made, the extra virgin olive oil was donated by the olive oil industry, and one always has to question funding influence. However, the scientists in the study are eminent. The journals that the results are published in and peer-reviewed are eminent, and it's very consistent with lots of other data. So this is a graph, a picture from their study. You can see a Mediterranean diet with extra virgin olive oil in the middle, a lower fat version with lots of the foods we love and we should certainly eat, whole grains and legumes and beans and peas. But you can see that only one of them resulted in a lessening of the intimal medial thickness of the carotid arteries. That was the Mediterranean diet. Only one resulted in decreased plaque height on the carotid ultrasound, the Mediterranean diet. Neither of them were associated with the number of plaques, but I'd be very happy if my patients had a reduction. In fact, that's what I see in my patients, a reduction in intimal medial thickness and carotid plaque height by any measure. And the higher oil content Mediterranean version was the winner in this randomized long-term study. All right, that's got to cause you to shake your head a little bit, but we're not done. Just recently, the Harvard School of Public Health in 2021 looked at olive oil consumption and the risk of cardiovascular disease. 63,867 healthy women at the onset of the study, 35,312 healthy men, 1990 to 2014. They provided dietary information every 4 years. They were all healthy at the beginning, but over 10,000 of them developed cardiovascular disease with an average follow-up of close to 24 years. Those that had a half a tablespoon or more of extra virgin olive oil daily had lowered risk of cardiovascular disease development by 15% overall And for coronary heart disease, like heart attacks, 21%. They also have the ability to model what happens if you're eating butter, mayonnaise, full fat dairy, or margarine. And if you replace it with extra virgin olive oil, and you lower your risk of cardiovascular disease by that substitute, which is why, again, the American College of Cardiology Controversies in Nutrition emphasized that it's a much better choice to choose olive oil versus butter, mayo, dairy, and margarine. But the CardioPrep study raises other questions about whether it's indeed not ideal to consider it being a component of a healthy, balanced, whole food, plant-based, colorful Mediterranean pyramid vegan version diet. This is a graph from that same publication from the Harvard School of Public Health. If you look at total mortality on the left, and you certainly don't want to raise your mortality, you're going to avoid trans fats, you're going to avoid saturated fats. But if you want to lower your mortality, you're going to want to substitute monounsaturated fats. We see in avocado, almonds, pumpkin seeds, and extra virgin olive oil. And consider polyunsaturated fats. I see a piece of salmon. I'm not going there. I again see, I think that's now sunflower oil and also more nuts. All right, conclusions about extra virgin olive oil and whole food plant-based diets. There are no trials. There are no trials of a plant-perfect, no salt, oil, sugar diet versus a similar diet with added extra virgin olive oil. That's what everybody would be curious about. Do a no SOS diet versus perhaps a no SS diet, but add high quality polyphenol rich extra virgin olive oil and measure endothelial function short term, always inadequate, but it's easier to do. Long term, much harder to do. Extra virgin olive oil is without doubt a healthy dietary fat, much healthier than butter, lard, ghee, and various margarines, and high polyphenol extra virgin olive oil may be of even more benefit and is available. A diet high in extra virgin olive oil is compatible with healthy arteries and disease reversal in coronary disease patients. That is the CardioPrev trial of Spain. And it remains unknown if extra virgin olive oil diminishes or enhances the health benefits of the perfect whole food plant-based diet, but it is not simply categorically adequate to look at the Vogel study alone, because the Vogel study had four of the five arms that we don't focus on very much. My overall vote with my patients is, unless they're the most critical of critical patients, extra virgin olive oil is healthy. And I'm sorry if I've upset any long-held beliefs, but science is new and ever-changing.